Psalms, that how sweet are your words to the taste, sweeter than honey. Sweeter than honey in your mouth. The words of God are sweet. I trust that whenever you read God's word, I almost think that maybe we should have like a little thing of honey with us, you know, right before we're about to dive into God's word, just to remind us of how sweet his words are. This verse reminds us how God's words are. And in the case over the past few weeks, the promises of God we've learned about in Scripture. Today we close out this series, and I want us to look at one of the most applicable promises God makes, which has the power to completely change our lives. It's a game changer. He promises through his son Jesus forgiveness. Forgiveness. I remember after my stint in the Marine Corps and coming back up to Alaska, Fairbanks, Alaska, I went to the church that I worshiped at there in Fairbanks, Fairhill Community Church of God, and I remember I got into Fairbanks at like 3 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning, and I'm like, I'm going to church. Coming off the Alcan, I was road ridden hard. Yeah, many of you have made that travel, right? And you know how it is. And I had these good intentions about getting up and going to church. I wanted to go to church. And so I didn't make it that morning. But we were still we still had evening services then. So I went to that evening service. I showed up and the pastor showed up and he's like looking at me and who is this guy? And I'm looking at him like, who is this guy? You know? And people are coming, and some people who knew me from the day, the Pomeroys and Bidens and these people, they don't mean, but I'm just saying, these people, they knew me, and they're embracing me, and they're hugging me, and the pastor is like looking like, okay, everybody knows this guy. But I had returned home, and I don't know that there's anything particular that was said that evening, but I said, I'm tired. I'm tired of doing life JR's way. The way JR's living is kind of jacked up. And I knew why it was jacked up, because my life was full of sin. Now, granted, when I was a kid, you know, I went to church every Sunday. Everybody knows I was a drug baby, right? I was drugged to church every Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday night. But it was then that I really felt it. Because I've been through a lot. Much like some of you. And maybe not. But I've gone through a lot. I've gone through hell. But at that moment, I said, I'm tired. And Heavenly Father, I'm just asking for your forgiveness. And so today, we are talking about forgiveness. Is a quality involved in God's character. One we are all invited to simply receive. But when we talk about forgiveness, we must also discuss what's required of us to receive it. And along the way, we have come to the conclusion that all of us here today have something in common. We are all sinners. And we all need forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. The Bible says all of us have at some point, maybe even on our way to worship this morning, have fallen short of God's glory. I don't mean to meddle, I'm just saying. Another way to say it is, you're not perfect. I don't care who you are or who you think you are. There's one thing I can say, not because I'm all knowledgeable, but because I know what the Bible says, that we are, none of us are perfect. We've all fallen short of God's standard. Man has a standard, but I'm telling you, it's way down here. This is the reason we need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. He has made the way for us to receive forgiveness of our sins so that way we can experience His abundant life here on this rock. John 10 speaks of that. That abundant life. But what does this concept and promise of forgiveness actually look like? It's important for us to understand it as God's people. If we don't know it, something's wrong. So this morning we're going to dive into that just a little bit. So before we do, let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for your love. And thank you for sending your Son to pave the way of forgiveness. Father, help us to confess our sins, to be humble, and accept the love that you have for us. The love that nothing else comes close to, that nothing else can supply. Your love, your forgiveness. I pray these words would touch the ears of those listening here this morning. More importantly, touch the hearts. I pray that people would humble themselves. That people would not say, I'm tough. I can handle it. I don't need God. I pray this morning that they would change their mind, not because of what I say, but Father, because of what your word says. In your name I pray. Amen. There are a number of amazing passages and verses in God's word that speak to forgiveness. Over 100 of them. So let's get busy. Number one. Okay. We don't have time this morning. But let me say this. I hope that this morning we can tackle some of this and understand the process, the power, and the promise of the forgiveness in our lives. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9, where it says, "But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness." Some translations say all unrighteousness. I think that's what a lot of people are used to. They're used to that verbiage, unrighteousness. But it's wickedness. There's three parts of forgiveness, and this verse highlights it, and all of which is important and noteworthy. Whenever I think of forgiveness, there's this illustration. I know I've shared it here before, but it is so spot on about confessing our sins. So there's this guy. Well, there's the Johnny story, right? So Johnny and his sister Sally, they're visiting their grandparents on the farm, and Johnny has this slingshot, right? Can't hit anything with it, right? So he has this slingshot, and he picks out a target and misses. And then all of a sudden, he sees grandmother's favorite goose, right? And he hasn't hit anything all day to include the barn door. And all of a sudden, he picks up a rock in his slingshot and reels it back and lets it go. And pow, it hits the duck. Grandma's favorite duck. The duck is dead. And Johnny's like, oh no, what am I going to do? So he gathers up the bird, he takes it, sticks it by the log pile, kind of covers it up. And he's like, oh man. And all of a sudden, his grandma says, hey, after lunch today, I need somebody to help me with the dishes. So, Sally, if you go ahead and help me with the dishes. And Sally chimes up. She goes, oh, Johnny's going to help you with the dishes today. And looks at her brother and goes, quack, quack. See, Sally saw what went down. And Johnny's like, oh, man. So next thing you know, Johnny's like, okay. He's washing the dishes with Grandma. Sally's kicking back. So then the next thing, Grandpa says, hey, we're going fishing this afternoon. Come on, kids. You know, and then Grandma says, no, Sally, I need you to stay back and help me with the prepared dinner. And then Sally again looks at her brother and goes, quack. Because she knows. And Johnny's like, okay, no, Grandma, I'll stay back and help you. This goes on and on for a couple more days. Johnny's doing double the chores. And finally, he says to his grandmother, Grandma, I've got to tell you, I killed a duck. I shot the duck with my slingshot a couple days ago, and it's eating me up. I just had to let you know. And his grandmother says, Johnny, I know. I was in the window watching. I saw it all happen. And she said, because I love you, I forgave you. Before you even asked, I forgave you. But I wondered how long you would allow Sally to make you a slave. See, that's what sin does. Sin makes you a slave. You see, the first step in the process after we sin against God is actually one we can initiate. No one else can do it but us. The Bible says that we must confess our sins to our Heavenly Father who is always listening. You don't have to worry about whether, you know, you're saying, I wonder if he's listening because I'm ready to do this. He's always there and he's always listening. And the Father says, it says in Scripture that Jesus, he intercedes for us. He's at the right hand of the Father. Romans 8:34 says, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Other texts say that he is pleading for us. This means that as we cry out, Abba, Father God, when we ask for forgiveness, Jesus is a mediator between us. We have no right of any sort of communication or perfect communication with the Holy God unless God has made a way. And Jesus made a way. God made a way through Jesus, his Son, for us to approach him after we've screwed up, after we've sinned. Hebrews 4:16 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. He's saying, come to me. come to me. Do you remember the concept of that we talked when we talked about grace a couple weeks ago? We need to remember that God's ultimate desire is to show grace and mercy to sinners just like me. Just like me. I want to be careful. I don't want to beat anybody up. I don't want everyone to leave. Man, JR just laid it to us this Sunday. You just call me a sinner and I'm not perfect. I'm not here to beat you up, hear me. That's not my job. I'm just here to share God's word. This confession comes in a form of prayer. And don't be confused. Prayer, you know, it's just communicating between us and our Heavenly Father. That's what prayer is. Communicating with Him. Just saying, Heavenly Father, I messed up. Sometimes we're saying, I messed up. And after we confess our sins, it's time for us to receive His forgiveness. Let me reread this again. 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from wickedness. Here's what I would argue today. Accepting the fact that God forgives us, all right? Accepting the fact that God forgives us and accepting God's forgiveness for ourselves are two different things. Often, one is easier than the other. Has this ever happened to you where, let's say, you know, I'll make it easy. If someone has ever, you did somebody dirty, you've done somebody wrong, and they say, you know what? Because I have. JR, I forgive you. I forgive JR. It's all good. And sometimes that's, although I've been forgiven, the hardest thing for me to do is to accept that forgiveness. Same thing with our Heavenly Father. Sometimes we're like, Father, will you please forgive me? And we know that He will. But it's hard to accept that. Am I really forgiven? You know, the Bible makes it clear that exactly what He offers to us is this freeness of sin. But sometimes we still find ourselves under the weight of that shame of condemnation that comes in here with us. I'm here to let you know that today that that voice is saying that you're not forgiven is not of God. It's not Him. There's a powerful story in John 8. And I know that most of you are familiar with this story, but let me just quickly just speak to this story in John 8. Jesus is in a city, and this woman is brought to the city square, if you will, and because she's been caught in adultery, all right? And so it's the woman who's, it's always the woman that's being ostracized. You know, I never get that. The guy's like walking off. I don't get that. But it's this woman, and the Jewish leaders are there, and they're asking Jesus, hey, the Bible, the Levitical law says, hey, you know, if a woman, you know, is caught in adultery, the city is to stone this woman. And so she's there, and so they're actually trying to trick Jesus, right? Silly, all right? They're trying to capture Him in something, and they're saying, what do you say, Jesus? What should we do? And Jesus, he drops to a knee, and he writes something in the ground. And of all the things I want to ask Jesus when I get there, what did you write in the ground? It's probably not going to much matter. If when I'm there, it's not going to matter anymore. But I want to know what he wrote in the ground. Does anybody else want to know what he wrote in the ground? Oh, okay, I'm not the only one. And then he's there with these religious leaders, and he says to them, those of you who are without sin, those of you who are without sin, go ahead and toss that throne, go ahead and toss that stone at this woman. If you haven't sinned, by all rights, you go ahead and you toss that stone. He kneels down again, the Bible says, and writes something else into the ground. And Jesus again says in John 8, 10 and 11, he stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? They all had to walk away. They weren't clean. They were tainted. And Jesus is saying to this woman, go and sin no more, in the 11th verse. He asked this woman, where are your accusers? Where are all these guys? And all that was said and done, not a one of them said anything. And see, this is the sweet part. This is the sweet part. Jesus, he doesn't like get into her about her sin. He just says to her, go and sin no more. Don't do it again. When we understand what God's voice actually sounds like, we start to believe that forgiveness is truly available to us too. It isn't just some biblical thing we read about that is available to people with less sin. So see, there's no degree of sin. Sin is sin. There's no little white lie. It's just a lie. Sin is sin. Whatever that sin is, Jesus says, hey, I'll accept that and I'll wash you clean. I'll wash you clean. I'll wash you clean. You don't have to have that on you anymore. I gotta think that somebody in here has had that kind of weight on them. And to know that you are clean, he's our Savior. He's the Savior of all mankind. And he's cleansed us from our unrighteousness. We are cleansed. This based on First John text seems to be the outcome of receiving forgiveness in our lives. The Bible talks a lot about the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. I was trying to think of some illustrations. There's, you know, like having the two jugs of water. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but I just know that if I bring water up here, I'm just going to spill it. I'm going to make a mess. So forgive me, but, you know, we've all got this in our lives, this sin. It's fixed to us. And like this foamy glass cleaner, God's blood, when applied to this sin, it doesn't matter how long this sin has been there. It doesn't matter whether it was there last night when it was written or this morning. That blood of Jesus, once it's applied, and he applies it abundantly. It's gone. It's gone. There's no remnants of it. It's gone. That's what he's done for each and every one of us. And that's what he's willing to do for each and every one of us. He's like, because you can't clean yourself. I mean, how many moms have sent their kid to take a bath and they come back almost dirtier than when they got in it? Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let's settle this," says the Lord. "Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool." The songs that we sang this morning of worship, as Dwayne was leading the worship, I'm like, man, these songs of worship are spot on. Sin have left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. We receive forgiveness from God. We are transformed. This is where God's sacrificial offering of Jesus comes into play. Because of his blood that was shed on the cross, our sins are forgiven. As we seek to walk with Jesus day by day, we will start doing things his way. The things of old, the way you used to walk before, the people you used to hang out with before, the things you used to do with the people you hung out before, you start to change. Your flavor of music starts to change. And sometimes, not necessarily our friends need to change. We're changed, and then our friends will see the change in us. And that's a good thing. You're not losing anything. As we talked earlier in the series, God promises to never leave us nor forsake us. He desires to walk every step with us. Every step. Not sometimes, all the time. He's right there with us, walking with us. And he desires for us to live a holy and righteous life free from sin. 1 Peter 1:16 says, "For it is written, be holy because I am holy." To be holy means to set yourself apart and with all your efforts, because you can't do it on your own, because you need him. We need him to be a part of us so that we and adopt the way he has, that DNA that he's placed in us, that way of life. He's saying, "I want you to be like me." You know the old commercial, "I want to be like Mike"? That's an old commercial. "I want to be like Mike." He's saying, I want you to be like me. I want you to be like me, and I want to have a personal relationship with you, not just on Sundays. I think sometimes we have that mentality, like, okay, I came to worship on Sunday. Okay, got my hour and JR, you're over. Come on, get over with it, all right. Okay, I'm out. Like, I don't want, he's like, I don't want a relationship like that. He goes, I want you all the time because I love you all the time. And I want you to be near me all the time. You know why? Because I forgave you of all your sin. Why would you not want to be with me? I gave you life. What you had before wasn't life. Dwayne said, he talked about the miracle of life. He's the one that gave it to us, and he continues to give it to us. But we've got to ask for repentance of sin. Come on. One last time. 1 John, first chapter, verse 9. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. You know, to me, that is like the sweetest promise. That's the sweetest promise. That he would forgive me of my sins. He promises to do that. To know that we are eternally and forever forgiven in Christ, restored and redeemed in our relationship with our God and Creator, who tells us through the prophet Isaiah, he forgets our sins. Isaiah 43:25 says this, I alone will blot out your sin for my own sake and will never think of them again. He will never, that sin, he's got that big bingo blotter thing. He's got two of them and he's just blotting out all of our sins. Never to be seen again. Can you comprehend that? The Lord of Lords say, hey, I'm blotting it all out. It's done. I've forgotten it. I've forgiven you. Let's move on. Let's move on. I know that for most of us here in this room, this is amazing news. And often have the opposite problem in that we cannot, unlike how he forgives our sins, And forgets it, we do not. Let me tell you this morning, church, let it go. Let it go. That right there, him dying on the cross, when we fail to receive his forgiveness, we're saying that he died on the cross. His dying on the cross was in vain. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. I don't do this every Sunday, and maybe I should. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, why wait another day? Why not ask him to forgive you of your unrighteousness, your wickedness? And maybe you're saying, hey, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior a long time ago. And that's good. Amen. But I'd venture to say along the way, since the time you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you slipped and tripped. Maybe even fallen. So I'm saying, have you asked forgiveness for that? Have you asked forgiveness for maybe something you did this morning on the way here? Do that today. Whether you come up here or you do it right there in your seat. But acknowledge him today and ask forgiveness. He's the only one that can do it. Heavenly Father, this morning, as I shared earlier, and I just pray that those listening to me this morning heard you in that he loves us. Your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for us. He bled and died for us. That sin, that's crimson stain, your blood washed it white as snow. And that's a good thing for us. Because we know that we will live forever. The decision for us to make is where we will live forever. Forever with you, or forever in damnation. This morning, I pray that we choose to hang out with you for the rest of our days. In your name I pray. Amen.